Hello and welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorise about what may be coming next. As always, we're your hosts Cameron and Lisa, and in this episode we're going to be recapping Taylor's 2023, as well as going through the winners of our third annual Swiftly Spoken Awards that all of you have been voting for over the last couple of days. So as you're probably aware, 2023 has been an extremely busy year for Taylor, and we've been spoilt with content. In comparison to last year, 2022, which was a little quiet, especially on the first end of the year, we were kind of, you know, pulling at every end to get some sort of content. And then in this year, it's been like nonstop, hasn't it? But yeah, so obviously, rather than go through every single detail, because there is just so much, we'd be here till next year, you know what I mean? There's so much to talk about. We thought at first we'd just go through some of the major moments that have happened this year.
Yep, and some of those major moments include the Eras Tour beginning back in March. It seems crazy to think it was so long ago when it feels like yesterday that we were breaking down every single era, what we thought was going to happen, those predictions, which are so funny to look back on now, and how she has structured the show, which is so interesting to see. But yeah, back in March, and ran all the way through until basically last month, and it will be kicking back off next year.
It is weird because it feels like it only just started, but it also feels like we've been in this kind of era as such of Taylor's career for a while. Like, you know what I mean? It feels like we've been in the high of it all for just so long, and like the fact that we're like literally halfway is just so exciting.
We have like over another half of that to come, which is so fun.
I know, it's just nuts.
But yeah, it brought with it a lot of musical releases, droplets, remixes, and two editions of Midnights back at the beginning of the year, which again is crazy to think that we got You're Losing Me way back then. But obviously now it's had a resurgence because of it being available on streaming. But it's funny to think how the tour and the year was kind of bookended with that release, but also like started with that as well. So it's kind of like a full circle moment with that one.
And then even with the film like coming out digitally as well, that's almost quite similar, isn't it? The tour started with that.
Yep.
It also started with You're Losing Me, and then the tour ended, the year ended with tour and You're Losing Me in kind of different formats. So that is interesting that, you're right, it bookended both sections of the year.
And then following on chronologically, we have another major release, Speak Now, Taylor's Version, back in July. Again, it feels like a world away. It really does.
Oh, yeah. It feels like years ago. That honestly feels like years ago.
Yeah, we got two re-recordings this year, of course, Speak Now and 1989. Speak Now was back in July. It was a major moment back then, which we will be talking about in just a minute. But yeah, we got that. And then obviously, of course, we had the announcement of 1989 Taylor's Version. But before that came, we got the Eras Tour film, which again is very relevant right now because it has been released to be rented. Eventually, I imagine it will be released for streaming as well. Like you said, it gives us that moment of way back in March, we saw this. Well, some of you guys were lucky enough to see it in person, which is absolutely incredible. But for us over here, we saw it like on these shaky live streams, and then to be able to experience it in the cinema and then finally get it now at home. Oh, it's so fun just to see the evolution of it all and what's to come.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's still so much more to come. And even the version of the Eras Tour that we know is going to,
evolve.
Evolve and change into next year. And I think that what's so cool is that the Eras Tour has been such a platform for Taylor and her career this year, of like, introducing us to music videos and remixes and different versions and then re-records. There's so much that the Eras Tour has been a catalyst and catapulted different other parts of the year off of. And it's just been such an incredible year. Like, I don't think we've had as busy a year in terms of Taylor's career in such a long time, if not maybe ever. Like, if you think about it, like even back in the height of like 1989, obviously we only had an album every 2 years and then a tour. We weren't getting the level of like music videos and this and different releases and films and live versions and this version and that. This year probably has been the biggest of Taylor's career ever, probably.
I think one of the things that is very much the proof of what you just said is that we always have a few episodes and ideas for, like, for when some weeks maybe things are a bit slower or there's not so much going on and we have to kind of like go back into the catalogue, and we love those episodes, don't get me wrong, and we love discussing things and really like picking them apart and going back and looking back. However, we haven't really been able to do that this year because week upon week, it was just like, okay, now we got to talk about Speak Now, and now we got to talk about the Vault Tracks, and now we got to talk about 1989, and now we got to talk about this other crazy thing that she's just done, and now we're going to go to the tour film. And now here we are at the end of the year. So it's just been crazy to just go from one thing to another, to another, to another every couple of weeks. So like you said, it has been nonstop. It really has. After that, we then did get the full album of 1989, Taylor's version, which I'm still reeling over.
I'm still not over it. Yeah.
It's holding up so, so well. It's still in the top 10 in the USA, even though it's Christmas time, which is incredible. And yeah, I think it's very much deservedly so, because those Vault Tracks are just so good.
Oh, they're on another level. Like, every time I listen to them, I'm like, these are so... Like, I listened to them again this morning. And I say that as if I haven't listened to them in ages. I literally heard them, like, probably on Sunday. And, you know, like, I've literally heard them, like, 2 days ago. But every time I listen, I'm just like, God, these are so good. Like, they just get better and better and better. They just age so well. And just, like, every time you listen, like, oh, God, it just hits so much more. It's just, oh, unreal. I love them.
So other than everything that Taylor has produced this year, the re-records, the Eras Tour, she has also achieved some incredible accolades and records, broken incredible, incredible records, honestly. Most streamed artist on Spotify. And of course, most recently, we also got the Person of the Year and the Time 100 magazine, which honestly, one of the most interesting reads. It's nice to hear from Taylor. We had discussed previously that she hadn't appeared on a magazine for a couple of years now, and we were ready for that type of content, and she delivered, that's for sure. It was an incredible write-up, really interesting read.
Oh yeah. Yeah, 100%. It was really, really detailed, and I think that the writer did a really good job of totally understanding Taylor, and I think that he just did a really amazing job, and the way that he wrote it was just I was just very impressed, and it was like, oh, you've really got it, and you've really understood her, like, and you know, it's not about gossip, it's not about this, it's generally about understanding how she ticks. And I really like how it was kind of, you know, it started off with that story about Kenny Chesney and about, you know, how what can appear to be one of the worst things that's happened to you, or, you know, a bump in the road, in the end actually opens potentially other doors that lead to something that is so much greater, and you can use your, you know, negative things that have happened and turn it into something so positive, and then reflecting on this year and the re-records and then pulling it all back. I just thought it was really well written and had a very clear narrative and story that it was telling, and just really interesting. And I think Taylor was very candid, and I really loved it. And I think that we haven't really had something like that probably since like Rolling Stone 2019. Which was also a really revealing kind of interview. And I like those kind of ones. And it's just nice to see her on magazines that are, you know, not just the same crappy old ones, unofficial ones that just get shoved out on different newsstands that are just full of just drivel. It's nice to have something new and just interesting. And I think it was a really interesting read. And hopefully 2024 will lead to a couple more. Like, I would really, really, I just love getting them and reading, you know, different stuff about her from different people's perspectives, and in a more intellectual way, I suppose, rather than just like gossip.
Definitely,
crap.
Yeah, it is a professionally written piece and really studied, you know, they've done their homework, and then obviously Taylor's voice is always incredible to hear and to read. So yeah, no, it was an incredibly interesting piece, and apart from that, it was an amazing way to cap off the end of this year. And honestly, it gave you all the details that we are going to be speaking about, and they are just so amazing. Like, when you're living through them, you don't realize, like, oh my god, she broke the record for like the biggest box office numbers, she broke the record for biggest streaming numbers, she made billions for like the US economy basically on the tour. And it's just
nuts, and you just can't comprehend it. Like, and I think even in that Time magazine where he just says, like, you don't realize it when you're living it, you don't realize history when you're in the moment of it. And it's just true. It's only when you look back and think, bloody hell, like, this year's been nuts. Like, when you just think about it all, like, it just feels like multiple different years in itself, because there's just so much, and just like the achievements and the dramas and everything in between is just on another level.
Again, this year has also been, I don't want to say interesting, but it's been
interesting
been
is
a
definitely
going
a good
on,
word.
Both because we've had many appearances from Taylor, not only professionally but also personally. There's been a lot of moments and a lot of candids. She's definitely come out of the box more this year. And even like the celebration of her birthday, it was lovely to see her, you know, with friends and loved ones celebrating. So she's been more in the public eye for sure this year compared to last year, like you said, especially the first half where we didn't really see much of her. And obviously that is her choice and it's all good. And whatever we get from her is great. But it is nice to also see kind of these insights into the the celebration of her becoming so successful this year, and good for her, I say.
So now we're going to run through some of these incredible moments in detail. So we've asked you to vote in 13 different categories over the last couple of days for what we call the Swiftly Spoken Awards. And this is our third year of this, which is bonkers in itself. We've been asking you to vote over on Instagram and YouTube, and we've compiled all the votes and we'll be discussing each category and obviously its winner. But what we'll be doing is obviously saying, as previous years, if you are a previous listener and have listened to the last two Swiftly Spoken Awards, we often do the listener's winner and then our winner. And often they are the same, but sometimes we're stubborn and want something else to win. So we'll give both, but we'll get through them all now. So one of the first ones, and I think this is probably one of the funnest, is what everyone's favourite Chaotic Eras Tour moment was. And there's been a lot this year.
Oh God, it is fun watching all the Eras Tour and how things go down. And we discussed this previously in one of our episodes. Sometimes things do go off the rails and just, there's a mix of everything. There's like really funny moments, like someone mentioned some of the errors from the Eras Tour, which Taylor included, or the team included at the end of the Eras Tour film, like when the Willow Cape kind of went over her head and she was trying to fight for her life to get out of there when she had to run because of the platform wouldn't go down.
Oh, the platform for Look What You Made Me Do, yeah.
And then she commented, "I'm still Swift AF boy." You know, things like that, which are all incredibly funny. And then we have the mishaps, like her microphone not working, and one of our three winners, because there was a draw of people mentioning these three moments, various people mentioned them. One of the mishaps is the haunted piano.
Yes, which was, I believe, at Glendale Stadium after that washout show. Don't you remember the rain show that was like washout, like 3 hours, entire show. Like Taylor was literally like wiping water off of the pianos. God knows how they performed or got through those shows. It was like bonkers. But then the day after, like the piano just totally messed up and was just playing random keys, and you had to just be like, okay, cool, I'm done with that. I'm just going to do two guitar sets instead. But yeah, that was quite funny. And that was one of our listeners' winners. The other ones also that I think are quite funny to mention before we get into them is the cardigan.
Oh, God.
I don't really know how to describe it. So I describe it like the...
This song is about you, debacle.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
This song is about you. You know who you are and I love you.
It's so bad. Isn't it terrible that we all like know that by memory? Oh, like we've had that ingrained.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, that video just haunts me.
It does.
It haunts me.
It
really does. And... oh, that whole period of being a Swiftie was rough.
It's just, I know that it's not like, why, but for me, it's the reason that cardigan is cardigan in the Eras Tour film. She was like, let's just wash out the bad vibes.
Pretend. Yes, exactly. Let's pretend that didn't happen.
Everyone
moving
look away.
Swiftly on. Yeah. The other fun bits, and again, one of our listeners mentioned it, is like the lightning during All Too Well. I think just also another really fun moment. This wasn't technically an error, but kind of was like the fireworks during Enchanted.
Yeah.
That was
And then the plane
gorgeous.
During Labyrinth. It's all of these, like,
yes.
Mother Nature
yes.
is a Taylor Swift stan, and the fates and
yes.
the stars align to make things really strangely take place during some of the songs. Oh, it's incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The key moments, and like Under Your Trouble, there was also some lightning, which was like going off at like the perfect times. And I think another Under Your Trouble moment that's quite funny is right at the start of the tour when like her hair would go all staticky and would like, she'd like, it all stick up and she looked like some sort of mad scientist. That was another fun moment. But the other two other winners for listeners wise is the I Can See You premiere, which I think is probably one of the coolest moments from the Eras tour. Like, that was so cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was such an amazing night, such a fun night. Obviously, a lot of Speak Now celebration going on anyway, which was so fun. And then to bring out the co-stars for Taylor Lautner to do flips down the stage. What a night. What a fun time. Honestly, so fun.
It was pretty cool. And another one, obviously, the other winner, listeners-wise, is Karma is the Guy on the Chiefs, which I think was... That was also a moment in itself. That was my favorite moment, probably. And just that was like, what on earth?
I think we have to, out of those three moments, I definitely very much love all of them. I Can See You premiere was incredible, but I think we have to give it to Karma as I Go on the Chiefs, just because it did inspire like a whole episode from us and everything. And it is
definitely
a fun moment.
I think that's got to be our winner.
It is most recent as well, so it's fresh in our memories, and what a chaotic moment. But the Eras Tour has given us so many fun moments, and like we said, we still have a whole year of this to go. So fun. I love keeping track of the surprise songs. I love seeing all the different outfits, and I can't wait for more, honestly. So connected to that point, we have our second award, which is Favorite MV. And we only had three contenders this year. I say only, but that's quite enough anyway. So we had Lavender Haze, Karma, and I Can See You. And the winner was I Can See You. I get why. The story it tells is just so fun, especially for fans.
Exactly. Yeah, like the visual thing of like breaking a Taylor out of the vault and the whole Taylor's version. And I think the symbolism of like, it's that final bit where she like looks back for a split second at like what she's had to destroy and but what she takes with her. Yeah. And as a fan, you're like, oh my God, you know, like the fact that she said she has to burn down her past, but at least she can
reclaim her,
take it with her. You know what I mean? Cause it's exactly. And then that whole music video was just, I think was really, really solid. And I think Lavender Haze was also really gorgeous. I do think it's slightly overlooked. It was right at the start
of the
year.
True. However, I do prefer Karma to Lavender Haze, to be honest with you.
Yes, me too. I think Lavender Haze is probably my least favorite out of the Midnights.
It gave incredible
my favorite
visuals.
Is still
I love Laith Ashley in it as well, but I like an MV to give me a bit of a story. I think we've discussed this previously.
Yes.
Where I like to see something. And I understand that we have a bit of everything,
whereas
which is fine.
Yeah. And whereas Lavender Haze was just her kind of just dancing and prancing around in like
lavendery
stuff. Yeah, exactly. And Karma was quite cool. I think Karma was really cool for like the different sequences that
and
were
the
going
looks
on.
Of it all.
You know, with like the devil and the looks and like Dorothy, and then they were on a boat, and then they're suddenly in the sky, and then they're in the space. It was just like, and then she's in a coffee shop. It's just like, there was a lot going on, but I Can See You, I think story wise and what it told and the different features from Speak Now outfits and stuff was just, I think as a fan, was one of those videos where you're like,
incredibly emotional.
Hits all the right nerves. Yes, definitely, definitely. And yeah, all the features of, you know, like Joey and Presley Cash and obviously Taylor Lautner was just like perfect. So I think listeners, obviously, you guys voted for I Can See You, but I think our favourite is also I Can See You, definitely. Okay, so the next award is our favourite collab of the year. And to be fair, this year we had quite a solid big old range. Yeah, when you think about who, you know, we had like rappers, and then we had kind of more indie alternative artists, a bit of kind of pop punk. So there was a real kind of mix this year. So in terms of collabs, we obviously had Karma with Ice Spice. We had Snow on the Beach, more Lana. Obviously, we had Alcott with The National, Electric Touch with Fall Out Boy, Castles Crumbling with Hayley Williams, and Bad Blood, Taylor's version, featured Kendrick Lamar. In terms of listeners, the outright winner was more Lana, which I think is interesting, that it just shows that there was a big need to hear Lana more
there
on
was
that
a
track.
Demand.
I think I'm probably the wrong person.
So on the Beach, for me, is quite a touching song. I know that you're not the biggest fan, but it was nice to hear Lana get her moment in the song. We have heard her speak about the song a couple of times this year and even give us a little rendition of it and how she tried to remember the lyrics, poor thing. But no, it is a nice song. I do like the collaboration. And I do think a lot of people were extremely excited for this collaboration because a lot of Taylor's fans are Lana fans as well. We have a lot of crossover between her working with Jack quite often as well, being quite prolific lyricists. So I think that's the reason why it won. However, I'm feeling that this isn't going to be our choice as well, right? Which one would be yours? Which one would be your favorite? Because I'm pretty happy with all of these. What an incredible batch. Like you said, we have such a mix from the Alcott to Electric Touch, Castles Crumbling, Bad Blood. It's that run is just such a mix in itself.
It is a really interesting run. I think, to be fair, for me, Karma, I'd say maybe not. For me, I felt like it didn't really enhance a song. I think Ice Spice, that whole period with Ice Spice was really lovely, and when like they're on stage and the friendship they formed is really, really cool. The music video was ace, but for me, just didn't. You know how we talked about in that remix episode back however long ago about like how with a remix you wanted to enhance it and add something. I felt like the only thing it added was like facts. You know what I mean? Like that was kind of for me. That was it. I do love Bad Blood, Kendrick. Like I love that song anyway. Bad Blood, Kendrick, and I think Kendrick brought it. Like he nailed it. Like if anything, it's better than the original. Like
it's just equal parts no nostalgic fault. And iconic. But also like fresh and it still stands the test of time. His verses are so good. And
oh, they're good.
It does remind me like we gave it the S tier, Bad Blood, it's original. And I would give this one like an S plus.
Yes.
So I get
100%. So I think, but then I feel a bit weird giving a song from like 2014, 15, like that. So I think for me, in terms of new song, if I was to take out Bad Blood and be actual new songs we got this year, it'll be Alcott for me.
It's very very overlooked song, but it is such a sweet one. I guess it came out at a bit of a strange time. There was a lot going on, both in Taylor's personal life as well as her public facing. We had the Eras Tour. There was an influx of content, so it kind of went under the radar in a way. But it is an incredible song, and the National are such a great band. And seeing anytime Taylor collaborates with anyone that has anything to do with Aaron Dessner, you know I'm a fan. So yeah,
it's definitely always a hit. Yeah,
but yeah, no, I have to say I kind of like that idea, since we did already give Bad Blood its flowers back in our other episode about the remixes. So yeah, I can agree with you on that. But for you guys, it was More Lana that won. And let us know in the comments, do you agree with all of these winners? You guys must have voted, and if you didn't, or if you voted for something different and you want to defend it in the comments, do let us know, because it's always interesting to see the love spread around on to all of these people and to all of these collaborators.
I think what's interesting as well, and I'll just add this with the More Lana, I think recently, very, very recently, I believe it's with Variety, I might be getting that wrong, so please let me know if I've said this wrong, but Lana said about Snow on the Beach that the original, that actually she's featured on it more than people think, and that she said that she's really good at imitating how other people sing, so that's why maybe people didn't think that she was featured when she actually was, and that she says that she can hear herself more because she's very good at imitating other singers and, you know, like, and kind of harmonizing with them,
kind of sound to her voice,
basically. And I do, and after I listened to that very kind of small soundbite, I did go back and listen to Snow on the Beach, the original, and if you do listen, I think that sometimes her and Taylor do sound like similar. As one. And I think what you can maybe hear them a little bit more. So that's just interesting to say. But obviously, we got the more.
Lana is so interesting. Anyway.
So everyone was happy.
Artist. She just puts out what she wants.
Yes.
She does her little collabs. Yeah.
Releases this what she so wants. Fun. Says what she wants. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's Lana's world, and she just lives in it.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting. Thank you for that bit of info. Next up, we have favorite award show appearance. So there have been three prominent award shows that Taylor attended this year that we wanted to highlight, which were the Grammys back in February, the iHeart Awards, which were held in that tiny space of time she had around Easter, where she had like a week off from touring, and then the VMAs, which are the most recent. And for these award show appearances, at all three shows, she got amazing awards. At the Grammys, she got a Grammy for All Too Well. It was for Best Music Video. At the iHearts, she got a special award given to her. And at the VMAs, she basically swept with so many.
swept the whole lot, basically. Yeah. She literally just walked. Yeah. Just took the entire place.
And
there.
So there's no surprise here, but the winner is the VMAs. She just looked incredible. The after party look was also ace. Like we said, she swept. she, you know, she just had a, such a fan night as well.
Oh, 100%. And I think the iHearts were also a bit like, they kind of came and went very quick, didn't they? Because she didn't really walk the carpet. She just was suddenly there. And then she like did, got her awards and then left. It was very much like...
She was in the middle of everything at that point, both personal life-wise as well as Eras tour-wise. So I can imagine she was just exhausted, to be honest with you. But she gave quite a touching speech, which was nice to see. But I also really didn't like what she was wearing. She was wearing that hooded...
I wasn't the biggest fan of
which
that.
Which I know that
either.
That isn't like the biggest thing, but it does influence, like, you know, if you like how she's styled, then you might like the appearance more. For example, the Grammys was an iconic look, and the VMAs also, she looked really, really good. So I get why iHearts came in third. People didn't like it that much. There wasn't many votes at all, basically. But do you agree with the voters at the VMAs? I do.
100%. Yeah, VMAs was so cool. And like, that was when she was like singing like to Demi, and like she was just having the time of her life. And I feel like VMAs, we always get so much content because they have all the like audience cameras. So the VMAs are just really good anyways, because you get loads of like red carpet. There's always a really cool after party. You know what I mean? There's just loads that you get out of them. Whereas like the iHearts and stuff, you just get a couple of pictures and then the awards themselves. Grammys, there is quite a lot of content sometimes that they release after.
It's a bit
but again,
more of a serious affair.
So lots of the performances,
way, the Grammys. There's
and lots of the performances are then locked away, like so that you can't really access it very well. Like you have to watch it, and then sometimes the performances are never ever put out anywhere. So I feel like with the VMAs, you know you're going to get the whole lot, the whole shebang, all the behind the scenes. You just get loads of stuff. So content-wise, it's just like a fan's dream come true. So the next category was favourite leaked song, which is a slightly controversial one. But we thought we had to include it because I felt like this year, in terms of leaks and stuff, they became quite big. And they also inspired certain then, like,
releases.
All of the Girls You Loved Before was then actually released. So I think that they're definitely worth mentioning. So the four big ones from this year, because there was lots of like demos and, you know, there's so many. But in terms of brand new songs that we hadn't ever heard before, was Drama Queen, Need, Cannonball feature Justin Bieber, and This Is What You Came For, the Taylor Swift demo. There's some good ones in here. This Is What You Came For is something that if you've listened to us before, you know that we love it. We've wanted it for years.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, I've wanted this. This is the only version I listen to now. I've removed the Calvin Harris, Rihanna version off my phone. It's only this one. Love it, love it, love it. Drama Queen as well is something that we've known about for a while.
Yeah.
Interesting song. Very interesting. Like, in terms of getting to hear a bit more of the kind of Better Than Revenge-y side of Speak Now. And then obviously Need, which was like, why was that not on Lover?
Oh, don't get me started. But definitely these are four big ones. Like you said, there were other demos, there were other older songs released, but these are like the four, or leaked rather, these were the four that have been known in the fandom for a few years. Like the names have been going around, but they finally made their way out from the depths of whatever vaults they were in.
I think some I would have liked to have stayed in the vault, like Cannonball, Justin Bieber. I know,
all of those years, I don't know, there was a part of me that never really believed we'd ever see it.
I just never believed it. Yeah, I just never really believed it. I was like, no, she didn't. And I'm so glad she didn't. Like, imagine how complicated that would now be.
Oh, to have released it.
Like, it would...
Yeah.
If it was actually released.
I guess because I did read that Cannonball wasn't really a Taylor song. It would have been featured on one of Justin's albums.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it was Believe.
I believe it was Believe as well. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So again, it would have been kind of like a situation akin to the John Mayer collaboration. You know what I mean? Like, we don't speak
Half My Heart.
And that's that.
Yeah. But to be fair... Half My Heart, though, like, she isn't even really credited. Like, it doesn't say, like, feature Taylor Swift, and it's very minimal.
Yeah. Also, she hasn't got a writing credit, right? She's just on...
Yeah.
On
it's just kind of, she's tacked
it,
onto it. Yeah. And whereas this, she is, like, properly featured, so it would be a little bit harder to erase from the internet. But I think it's an interesting song. I don't hate it. I think it's quite fun. It's very, you know... It's not overly impressive in terms of lyrics. Yeah, it's very of its time, very Justin Bieber 2012 vibes.
Yeah.
But I'm just relieved that she fell out with him and they never released it. I'm glad that him and Selena were having problems. You know what I mean?
We didn't need to hear it.
God.
No, yeah.
Yeah. no, not it. But in terms of the winner of this category, it was like just the winner. Like I think voted for this song was Need.
Yep.
Need was our listener's winner, which is no surprise. It's
Need
such a good song.
Need. I need it. Like not to be funny.
I am hoping and praying that we get another little droplet of some Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
Of some Taylor's versions. And Need is, you know, added.
Listen, we can
again
recontextualize it. It's fine. It's fine.
Yes.
Recontextualize.
It's fine. She released all. She literally released, like, All of the Girls We Loved Before at a time when it was a bit.
I know.
So.
But not Need. I don't understand. Give us Need.
No. Oh, it's because she's saving it. She's saving it.
Yeah.
She's got to be saving it. But I think.
I believe you.
I think. I don't know about you, maybe you can make the final decision, but for me, my favourite was definitely This Is What You Came For.
Oh, I was about to say, I think for me, it has to be a bit of a tie between Need and This Is What You Came For, which is funny because you guys, our listeners, you voted for Need in number one position, like Cameron said, but then in second place was Drama Queen. It tallied up to Drama Queen, which is funny. I guess a lot of you may be from... You know,
Speak Now stands out there.
OG Speak Now stands. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But I have to agree with you. This Is What You Came For. It was just like this rumoured thing for so many years.
And we had that rubbish little snippet that
was
like,
with the
X-Infinity on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally to hear it. I have to say, Need is still the winner for me. Just until we get it released. But as soon as that's released, This Is What You Came For is bumped to first position.
Oh, yeah, 100%. To be fair, Need is, like it was good. Like, those two Lover leaked tracks, when they both leaked, it was like, why on earth are these not on there?
I don't know. Like, but, I mean, Need
in what world?
Has a chance to be a little droplet, like she did last time around, perhaps when tour is restarting again in February. Or it also has the chance to be reclassified into the Reputation Vault. Some of you guys will comment in that as well. It would obviously be a bit of a move around, but then again, if this was a movie happened. So, who knows?
Exactly.
Going from leaked songs to released songs now, we're going to your favourite released song from this year. We had a lot of really, really interesting contenders. I'm going to read them out and then we'll talk about the two big ones because there was a tough battle going on here. So we have All of the Girls You Loved Before, Safe and Sound, Eyes Open, If This Was a Movie, You're Losing Me, Cruel Summer, Single. So all of these are songs that were released separately from any albums or anything like that, because obviously then we had loads of raw tracks and stuff like that, which we will get into in just a second.
Yeah.
But these were like,
whereas
more
these
like,
were more like droplets.
Yeah, yeah, just songs on their own.
Even though
some of them came
together. Weird because they were yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's hard to describe them, but they weren't like hot, like on an album officially, but they were tacked on to the end, kind of like Cruel Summer Live. Like technically, it was on an EP, but it wasn't really like a big release in terms of like it wasn't on anything, and then like. Eyes Open, for example, is deemed red, but it's not really, you know, it's confusing. But we've categorized them as like
the odds and ends, so we get at least two mentions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The so bits and bobs floating around.
Apart from two whole albums, to have gotten all of these little songs, I mean, altogether, they are a little EP on their own. Crazy.
Yeah.
Madness. Yeah. And these are just like extras, odds and ends, as we just called them.
Exactly.
Goodness me.
Exactly. Like, As if we're calling like Safe and Sound or on Odd and End, do you know what I mean? Like one of the most gorgeous songs ever. Like that was, I think those three Taylor's versions, If This Was a Movie, Eyes Open and Safe and Sound were
amazing.
Perfect. Like
so
I have
good.
No faults. Even now I still have no faults for them. They were just unreal. I think getting All of the Girls as well was just so cool to get, like, because those leaked versions are not the best quality.
No.
So being able to get it and also then hearing it on tour and things like that and it becoming like,
what a journey.
Exactly.
To
like
have lived
when you think it was leaked.
Journey of, I mean, if you're a long time listener, let us know if you lived through the journey with us of way back in the day when we spoke about, you know, like the what we knew of the Lover unreleased tracks that were just names and descriptions and how we went through and how suddenly we got a little snippet and then next thing we know we got the whole song and the next thing it's an actual release and then she's singing
song,
it.
And then, yeah, exactly. And I always think when songs that like for the first, like, especially with that, because obviously it was like, it wasn't really deemed part of the official Taylor Swift discography, and then obviously then it feels like this kind of tacked on song that just kind of exists on its own, and then when she performs it live, it's almost like it adds it officially. It's almost like, yeah, oh, that's a real thing.
It's the inauguration
that she is aware of is released. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, it's almost like, yeah, it's been inaugurated. It's like, oh my god, Taylor Swift is actually aware of that song, like what the
that she wrote.
So no, that was
yeah,
yeah, exactly, like really weird. But for me, I think the big standout is You're Losing Me, like that song. I'll never forget when we first listened to it. I remember us messaging about it, and I was like at Paddington Station, and it was like I was trying to get on a train. I was trying to listen to this song, and it was so emotional, and I was like, "Oh my god, what the hell?" And yeah, I had some dodgy recording of it on my phone, and then obviously now at the end of the year we've officially got it. But You're Losing Me was just like, I think everyone was taken back by that song and the way that it builds, and oh, it's such an incredible song.
Wow, it's just so raw, so vulnerable, and so brave to have released something like that at all, or written it, recorded it, sung it at all.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting is when it got released, we were all like, yeah, this song's hot off the press.
Oh,
like,
we were so wrong. There ain't no vault. Yeah,
but
definitely.
We were so, yeah, we apologize. We were totally wrong on that. Like, because, you know, Jack was like, I'm going to set the record straight.
Yep.
This was written and recorded on this day in 2021.
Yeah.
You know,
December 2021. So yeah, we have to retract that. So that's so interesting to see, and something that I'm sure we will be speaking of in terms of music and lyricism and, you know, other releases perhaps in the future. But no, the big standouts from this year were all of the Girls You Loved Before and You're Losing Me. They were neck and neck throughout the entire voting. I was like, oh my god, this one's like 50%, this one's 50%, now someone's voted for this, yeah, one, now someone's voting for that one. Anyway, it all came together that all of the Girls You Loved Before won by like a smidgen, like a tiny weeny bit. So yeah, it beat You're Losing Me, but honestly I do think those were two, but just like to talk about them together, the juxtaposition,
oh, yeah,
of
the, oh gosh,
the,
yeah,
contrast,
oh my god,
of these two,
yeah,
songs and their messaging.
Jesus.
Oh my goodness, yeah,
they could be further apart. But for me, I think for me, You're Losing Me is my favorite from this year, 100%.
From this list, I have to agree with you. I'd bump it up as well.
Mm.
So you guys voted for All of the Girls You Loved Before, but me and Cameron, we are going to bump up You're Losing Me as well. So yeah, we could call it a tie even, I think.
So next is favorite vault track from 1989. So obviously we've got some big hitters in here. Like,
yes,
to be quite honest, there's multiple that could have won this and definitely deserve to win it. I think for me, from the offset, my favorites have always been like, Now That We Don't Talk, Say Don't Go, Is It Over Now, but Suburban Legends and Slut are just as good. Like, and I think,
oh,
quite similar for you.
Oh, they've all grown on me so much. Suburban Legends, like one day I woke up and I was like, oh my god, I get it. Like,
yeah, a bit like me with Slut.
It just like clicked and I was like, I love this song.
Yeah, exactly. I was a bit like, I'm not sure. And then one day I was like, oh my god, this is the best song ever. Mm. Like, all of these songs are just hit.
1989 vote was insane. She didn't lie, which scares me because she said Reputation vote is fire, and that scares me.
It's fire. Still. Yeah. Oh, that, yes. But in terms of this category, our listeners, like, it was just
overwhelming.
This was the clear winner from the offset, and it does not surprise me. Yeah. Is It Over Now, which does not surprise me. Like, this is such a standout, and no wonder it kind of became the song from the 1989 vault.
Yep.
And I think, to be fair, I probably have to give it
I agree, the lyrics are something else, the references it gave, the way it recontextualized so much music for you and I, especially like how we went through everything and looking back at that era and how everything just kind of like shifted. Yeah, we have to give it to Is It Over Now, because
God,
it gave us so
what a song.
But yeah, either way, that can be said for the entirety of the 1989 vault. It is such a good vault, so much incredible lyricism. To have these are the songs she left behind.
Exactly. Like, how are you leaving Is It Over Now, Now That We Don't Talk behind? Like, what
the quality,
on earth? Like,
the quality.
Yeah, nuts.
Yeah, deserved winner, I have to say. Yeah. Moving from one vault to the other vault we received this year, favorite vault from Speak Now. Again, a pretty solid vault, I have to say. Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The overall winner, quite overwhelmingly, again, was I Can See You. It makes sense. It was the single, it had the MV, and in a way, they're so intrinsically related, like the story of the MV and the iconicity of that night and everything. I understand why a lot of people voted for that.
100%. And I think from the offset, my favourite has always been Timeless. But I do think in terms of like a moment and like the vault, I 100% would give I Can See You the title, because it really kind of carried that Speak Now little period. Mm. And with the music video and everything that happened, and it is such a good song, like it's a proper good old pop song.
It's definitely very much connected to that moment of excitement and that incredible release weekend and everything that went down. So I agree with that as well. Yeah,
but to be fair, I was surprised by second place being Foolish One.
Oh, I'm not. I love Foolish One. We are
I know that you're a Foolish One lover.
Foolish One defenders, rise up.
I thought it'd be like Electric Touch. I thought like that would be the second. So I'm intrigued that Foolish One is, is number two. I was quite surprised, not going to lie.
Yep. No, and then obviously we had Timeless. Again, it is a favourite of a lot of people. I know Timeless does receive a lot of love, and again, justifiably so. The lyrics are really, really incredible.
The next category was Best Album Vault. And I think to be fair, as solid as both vaults are, I do think there is a standout.
Mm.
100%. And this was very clear in the voting as well.
Yeah.
1989 won this award in terms of listener votes. And I think both of us are probably pretty
well. We're going to agree the same, I think. You know, from what we just discussed, it's quite obvious. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
It is solid. Like, Speak Now, I don't want to diminish it at all. The Vault is really good. Love it. Love it. It's like Timeless. I adore some of the other songs. When Emma Falls in Love, I Can See You. I also love, love, love. But there's something about that 1989 vault that is just
it's just so good. It's so, so good. So no, I definitely agree with our listeners. Yep, 1989 for the win. However, conversely, we then have our 10th award for most faithful to the original, and Speak Now won. I definitely think perhaps this was a little bit of a consolation prize for poor Speak Now.
Really? Maybe. I do agree. I think for me, it's interesting because Speak Now was the one that actually technically
changed
had the
most.
Biggest difference.
Exactly. Because, that's what I'm saying. Because, maybe people felt a bit bad for Speak Now.
I think that, because obviously Better Than Revenge is technically different.
Mm.
But I think that sonically, like, you don't listen to those songs and go, oh, that's slightly different. Whereas I think there was lots of initial teething problems with things like style,
right,
New Romantics.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And I think it was those kind of things. And also lots of people feeling like maybe the vault tracks, whereas like the Speak Now vault tracks felt Speak Now. Like when you listen to them, you're like, oh yeah, this feels Speak Now. Yeah. It feels very whimsical, very fairy tale. Whereas the 1989 ones, lots of people are like, oh, this sounds like Midnights.
That's
so
true.
I think maybe that's where that's come from.
Yep. You've explained that perfectly, and now I can see it that way as well. Yeah, no, it's more than just a poor consolation prize for Speak Now. No, that's a very interesting thing to think about, honestly, because I guess 1989 was already so big that any little change becomes an incredibly big one. Whereas Speak Now, though it did have a few changes, very much blended in and felt very true to its original form, perhaps. Yeah.
Mm, definitely, and I think, like, cover-wise, photoshoot-wise as well.
Wow,
like, just general aesthetics-wise, it wasn't really changed. Whereas 1989, like, it went from a city album to a beach album. Like, it was flipped on its head, you know? So I think that also really adds to it. So I do agree with this one. I think I'd probably say most faithful as a whole would also be Speak Now in my eyes as well. So next, which is probably one of the funnest categories, actually, because there's a big old mix here, is Fave Release. So this is just general things that were released this year. So we have Midnight's Late Night Edition, Midnight's Till Dawn Edition, The Eras Tour Film, Speak Now Taylor's Version, and 1989 Taylor's Version. And I think all of these could win. Like, all of them were just so fun. Like, we got so much content from everything. But in terms of listeners, you guys voted for 1989 Taylor's Version, which is no surprise because that period was so fun. Like, it was just like all these incredible songs. But I think for me, my favorite would be the Eras Tour Film.
Agreed.
Like, getting to experience that in cinema, that those couple of weekends where I went like four times, you know what I mean, was just those 3 hours or however long it was just the funnest.
Such a ride.
It was so fun. Yeah, it was getting to like get a little bit of a taste for what it will be like next year. It was just so
definitely
fun.
I think that maybe this may have occurred this way because perhaps some of our voters are predominantly people that have already been to the Eras Tour. So the film maybe didn't hit the same way. Or, for some voters, perhaps they unfortunately weren't able to attend the Eras Tour film, which is understandable. Yeah. And I hope that now, as it becomes more available online, and eventually, again, when it comes to streaming, I do hope everyone can experience it, because that is the point of these things. We want as many people as possible to be able to live through these things one way or another.
Yes.
So I have to agree with you, though. I also think the Eras Tour film experience was absolutely incredible. I had never lived through anything similar to that before, especially being a Taylor fan, to see other Taylor fans. We have a whole episode on this where we just gush about our experiences, because they were just so fun to live through. And like you said, an amazing appetizer for something that we are lucky enough to be attending next year. And final award as to Taylor releases and things that we got from her this year is the big one, Album of the Year. Obviously, there's only really two new albums that were released this year, 1989 Taylor's Version and Speak Now Taylor's Version. And the winner, it doesn't really come as a surprise, considering what we've discussed previously, was, as voted by you guys, 1989 Taylor's Version. It was just an incredible release. It blew the sales of her original, which was already a record in and of itself, out of the water.
Yeah.
Streaming records.
And then to Smash Midnight.
That's it, Smash Midnight. It's her biggest, like, release up to date, basically. And to be a re-record.
Which is bonkers.
The albums were incredible. The photo shoot was incredible. The prologue was so interesting to read.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so much amazing content. The lyricism of the vault itself, the information it gave, the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just such good songs as well. Like, you can't put... The production, perfect. Lyricism, perfect. Catchiness, amazing. Really, really, really cool re-release, I have to say.
Oh, yeah. I think that, I think our vote would also be 1989. It was the album of the year. Like, it was the most anticipated in terms of, like, Taylor's Version for this year, and it did not disappoint. Yeah, clear, clear, clear winner. So the final Swiftly Spoken award is a little bit more closer to home, and this is the best Swiftly Spoken episode this year. And as ever, there's been an endless amount of episodes this year, ranging from all sorts, and I think we've really learned this year that not only can we record an episode, edit an episode, create the content and thumbnail in the space of about 3 hours and get it out on that same day.
I forgot.
That was intense, wasn't it? 1989 TV was an interesting time to be sorting. That was full on. We were like, okay, we literally got off the call and then we're like editing, creating the thumbnail, banging it all out. As we process, it's done. Let's get it out on Instagram. And it was out. And also the success we've had this year, we just want to say a massive thank you. Like, view counts on some of the episodes have just been bonkers, like, and the love we've received. And, you know, I think really this year we've really started to really enhance on our little community and our little corner of the internet, and talking to you guys over on Instagram or on YouTube, and, you know, really getting to understand your favorite stuff and what you like and, you know, your perspective. And I love it. I really, really love it. And I think this year has really solidified that. So just a massive, massive, massive thank you, because it's just been a hell of a year. And I love being able to follow releases with this podcast and, you know, be running behind Taylor trying to catch up with whatever she's doing. And every time we have a plan, we have to divert. But yeah, it's been such a good year in terms of being a Taylor Swift fan, and also just in general running this podcast has been just amazing.
For sure. Thank you.
But in terms,
again, thank you so much, guys.
Yes.
It really has been incredible. Thank you for all of you that listened, whether you listened to one episode, all of the episodes have stuck with us since the beginning. Thank you for all of the comments you leave. We do read every single one. We love to read your little essays that you leave us, because you're just as enthusiastic as we are, which is incredibly fun to see. And thank you for voting. And thank you for mentioning the ones that we're going to talk about now, because it is fun to see that, you know, we do this because we love Taylor. We love keeping up with the content. We love discussing lyrics. And we just are really, really big fans of music and of Taylor in specific. But to be able to connect with other people who feel just the same is so fun and an incredible experience. So again, thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. And we're very privileged to be able to do that, because it's not, you know, often that you can connect with such a vast audience that, you know, get you and are just really supportive. And it's really lovely. And like, generally, we are so, so thankful. We would not be able to do this without all you guys listening. So thank you again. And yeah, thanks for sticking with us. But in terms of episodes that you guys mentioned, that were some of your favourites. So we had The Sophomore Slump, which I think was a really, really fun episode and was kind of piggybacking off of what we had done with the fourth album curse and really delving into the second album curse, which is, I think, maybe more well-known maybe than the fourth album curse in terms of like music fans. And that was really, really interesting. I love those kind of episodes where we take the magnifying glass away from Taylor and kind of pull it out and explore different genres and different artists and then pull it back and in. Perhaps, I think I love those kind of episodes where we do
perhaps
that.
Perhaps there may be more to come soon. Let me leave
yes,
that
I do think there is definitely more. There is definitely more slumps and curses and all sorts that we've got to explore. So yeah, keep an eye out. There's always, always more. Another one that was mentioned a couple of times is our debut Taylor's Version. We love doing our Taylor's Version episodes. I think it's such a shame that we have no more episodes to do. We've done it all.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, we've done it all. But I think what is a really strong testament to those episodes is 1989 Taylor's Version, where there were so many aspects of that vault that we had mentioned. What with the Diane Warren, what with Sweet Than Fiction, Bad Blood Taylor's Version. Like, we were mentioning things that were on it. You know, like,
it's fun to see.
We did our research.
Yeah, it's fun to see. Obviously, for debut and for reputation, we don't know as much.
Yeah.
We did mention some things. We did give some predictions. And it's fun to see when they actually come true, because we try and be as rational as we can and always give as much information that is correct as we can. Sometimes, you know, we can't get all of the pieces of the puzzle, or you guys correct us or leave us a comment and we always like pin it or say thank you. We love that as well, because we love to be, like we said, as informative as we can. So it's interesting to see when those things do come true and it's like, ah, redemption.
Yes, it feels good, doesn't it, to get it right. Another couple of episodes that you guys mentioned was the live lyric changes, which I think was a really fun episode. I, again, love doing those kind of things where, like, we're big lyric fans. We love looking at how different lyrics change. That's definitely something that we'll continue discussing. And also Midnight's mashups. So yeah, which was interesting now to look back on, because obviously that episode was maybe, you know, now hasn't really stood the test of time.
Yeah, talking about the things we get right. Sometimes yeah, things incredibly
wrong. The
things
we definitely got wrong. Yeah, because mashups are not a part of the Heroes Tour, and we got
not
that
really at
big
all.
Fat wrong. Mm. I honestly thought that mashups were going to be
prominent,
like major part of the tour, because they've often been a feature of previous tours, and they were quite a large feature of like the Reputation Stadium tour. And I think that was when Taylor didn't realize that she could do a 3-hour show, and it makes sense, you know, when there was when they were sticking to that more hour and a half, 2 hour.
Taylor said, "Never mind, I'll just play 3 hours instead."
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just do the whole bloody lot. So yeah, but the winner, which was mentioned multiple times, was our episode about Taylor albums as seasons.
Yep.
And I do think this is the deserving winner, because I loved doing that episode.
The way that we have tried to keep up with all of the releases and give like our reactions and the information behind the scenes of the Eras Tour, of 1989 Taylor's Version, connect lyrics with other lyrics, is always pretty like, we have to research things, we have to write out things. And then Albums as Seasons was just like one of the fun ones that we thought, let's just take a chill week, let's just talk about our opinions about these albums and how they could be different seasons and give our take on it.
Yeah.
And it's funny to see how that one was the winner, which is, I don't know, a testament to our listeners as well and to what they like. So we'll keep that in mind going forward for sure.
Yes, definitely. And I think also it then became quite a popular kind of concept. It had a bit more of a viral moment with a couple of viral tweets and TikToks and things. And I think that it is just interesting. I think that Taylor music is so synonymous with seasons, and Taylor really pulls on seasons to potentially promote music or release it around certain times. Or, you know, she's very specific about seasons and, like, you know, with Lover, like the Lover Fest was supposed to be during summer and, you know, when the sun was setting and then the sun sets and very wintry. Obviously Red is like
the autumn,
you know,
album.
Epitome of autumn. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really glad that one was mentioned lots, because that was definitely one of my favorites. I think we had a lot of fun in that episode with just chatting about the podcast at the start and then getting into the albums of season. So I'm really glad that that one resonated, because that one was one of my favorites definitely this year as well.
Again, a big thank you to all of you who listened. Like I said, be it to just one episode and you thought, oh, that was all right, or if you made it all the way to here and you've stuck with us for another year, let us know in the comments as well, so we can thank you personally, because honestly, like we said, we're here because we enjoy it, but it wouldn't be the same without you guys. And with that, we have finalized everything from this year. We've gone over all of the amazing content that we got from Taylor. We've given out the awards. We've spoken about our favorite things. So our last question, as we do every year, we ask, what's next? What is coming in 2024? Well, we've got a big year ahead of us. Once again, an incredibly big year. Back in 2022 rather, when we spoke about 2023, we spoke about, you know, the year as tour, but we didn't know if it was going to be just a 1 year thing, if it was just going to be in the USA. They were like some talk about it being more widespread.
International
and now we
potential.
Know. Now we know that 2024 is going to be jam packed.
Oh gosh, the fact that we're both seeing her next year is nuts. The fact when you think of everything that we've gone through this year, and I always find end of year and new year slightly not scary, but there is like always oh my god, what is to come? Like, because when you look back at the year and everything that's happened just in your personal life, but then when you look at just being a Taylor Swift fan, it's like, oh my god, what on earth is going to happen next year? But it's like the fact we survived, we got to the end, and look at how good the ending of it all was. There were some stressful situations here and there, a couple of dramas, but you know, in the end, hopefully we got there, and next year is exciting. Yeah, Eras Tour 2024, like, that's scary.
There's only 3 months of next year that don't have like tour dates. I think it's like January, one day in April or something like that, and then one day further along towards the end of the year. But other than that, every month has at least a few dates, even December.
Which is nuts, because when you think of what, even when she's not doing the Eras Tour,
oh god,
she's seen here, there and everywhere, or we get a film, or we get a this, or we get a that.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that it's like, oh my god, you know, it just never stops.
Yeah. So yeah, get ready for the Eras Tour 2024. Interesting things to come from us will be our experiences attending the tour firsthand.
I know.
Oh, I can't even. It makes me feel sick. But in the best way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's to come from us. Other than that, we will be recapping everything that goes down, surprise songs, at the end of perhaps another leg. We might go over the last couple of legs. But anyway, if anything goes down, if anything happens, you know that we will be on it. Other than that, re-recordings. I guess basically know that Reputation is the next thing around the corner for
is
us.
Is coming.
I think
I think so.
I think
Taylor's made that quite clear. Yeah.
I think we can fairly confidently say that. So
yes,
at least,
because I think with Time magazine, she definitely was kind of recontextualizing Reputation.
Oh yeah, and bringing it up, just
reanalyzing it. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of gives us the confirmation we need.
Yeah.
So I feel 100%.
But
yeah.
At the same time, sorry to butt in, but at the same time, there was also the Kenny Chesney mention and her start of her career. So there is also that. But I do think Reputation took a precedent.
Oh, definitely.
But
a good catch, a good catch nonetheless. Hmm. So yeah, I do feel like it might be coming earlier on in the year. I have my February theories still
fingers
intact.
Crossed.
So
fingers crossed, fingers crossed.
There you go. Reputation, perhaps around the corner. Other than that, debut Taylor's version. We've already prepared for it. So just in case. But what about a complete out-of-field kind of thing, which I don't think is so out-of-field for many of us, Taylor Swift's 11th studio album? Already a lot of rumours and rumblings.
You know how I think pre-Midnights, the pair of us are very much like, oh no, I'm not ready for a new album. We've had so much content. Now I'm like, I'm ready for a new album.
It's funny that, isn't it? Because
like, I'm ready.
We have had probably more content.
Even more content.
But I think it's because we have become...
So much has happened.
Yeah, very, very... in tune to Taylor's feelings, because she has basically poured her heart out to us on the stage for a whole year. And to see her going through different stages and different things on the stage that reflect her life, she's been very raw and vulnerable with us. And I think that's why we want to hear from her. Like, an up-to-date account.
And I think, because Midnights, you know, even upon learning things like You're Losing Me was actually
2021.
In 2021.
So that's our most recent is from 2021.
Exactly, which is bonkers. So it's like, I really want to hear
years
she's
ago
creating
by
now.
The time that...
Exactly. Wow. Oh, that's crazy. So yeah, it's like, I want to hear, you know, sonically where she's at, what she, you know, headspace and just music and lyrics, and just there's so much to come. And I just, really, really looking forward to that. And fingers crossed we get something. I would love it. But we've had so much. So, you know, I'm not
asking
for more, because we've had
nothing came next year and it was just... Eras tour, I would still be completely satisfied. We still have so much to go through. We have so many episodes ready to, to speak about things.
Talk about the vault. Our vault is bursting full of so many episodes. It's bonkers. Like, and then every so often we're like, oh yeah, we'll have to talk about that and that and that. It's like, yeah, as if we're ever going to have time to talk about that.
One day we'll get around to it all. But we have exciting things coming next year. And that's just in the music world. Beyond the music world, and I don't see this as a 2024 thing, but beyond, it's important to just remind ourselves that there will be a film at some point, directed or whatever, produced, written by Taylor at some point. I don't know how much she will do on her own, if there will be collaborations. We don't know anything, but we know that there will be a film at some point, which is just
in,
like,
the works. And I do believe that she's starting to align herself in that world, I think.
Especially
post, she definitely did it post All Too Well, and I think at the moment where she's attending lots of like premieres of stuff, and, you know, maybe starting to be seen a bit more within the world of film.
The Eras tour film release, you know, she's gearing, was also quite important and instrumental to it all. She's been seen with quite a few prominent figures. There's definitely things being...
I'd be amazed if I don't think we'll be getting that next year.
There's no
time to start filming and editing. But I do think that maybe just a more gearing up towards that part of the industry. And, you know, I think that that is definitely to come.
Yeah, I agree. Perhaps this time next year, we'll be speaking of it in a bit more detail.
God, that's nuts, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, God, there's so much.
Crazy to think. But it's been a brilliant year. As for Taylor content, we've had a lot of fun releases, incredible songs, which that's why we're here, right? The songs, the music. And of course, for Taylor herself, who has just smashed it this year. Congratulations to her on all of the amazing records and awards and accolades. All very much deserved, I think.
Okay, so we've now come to the end of this episode and the end of Swiftly Spoken 2023 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much for listening. I know it's crazy, just scary. But yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening to any episodes we've released this year. The love has just been on another level, and we are so grateful to you as listeners. And hopefully you'll stick around with us for a little longer into 2024. But I'd also like to thank my co-host, Lisa, because obviously we wouldn't be able to do this without you. And obviously I love our little podcast and chatting away every week and stuff and getting excited about silly little Taylor Swift things. So thank you as well. And yeah, another solid year.
Thank you very much.
We're
to
looking
you
forward
as well.
To no worries at all. No worries at all. It's I love it. It's so fun.
No,
and I'm
it
so
is.
Glad we get the opportunity to do this.
It is. It is. I am really, really grateful to you for coming on here every other week with me. And there's a lot that goes into all of this behind the scenes, and just like creation of Instagram posts, creation of all these different bits of content that you guys see. Yeah, no, I couldn't do it without you, that's for sure. And yeah, I'm just as happy to be here with you as to be here at all. So thank you,
Yes, well, thank you very much. And right back at you. But in terms of back on track, if you did like this episode, obviously give it a thumbs up, over on YouTube. Follow us over on Instagram at Swiftly Spoken Podcast, so that you can check back in to see what our first episode of 2024 will be. But we hope you have a great holiday festive period. Enjoy the rest of the year and have a happy new year, and we'll all reconvene in the new year, and fingers crossed it's going to be a good year, and there's a lot in store. But thank you again for listening, and we'll speak to you in 2024.